It being near the start of a new year, we've been thinking about resolutions we could make as individual believers and as a church. Last Sunday morning, it was listening to God. Please let's resolve to listen to Jesus. This week it is speaking to God. The two are different, and I would love us to be crystal clear about this. There have always been religious groups and cults who have sat with a blank piece of paper, sitting in a state of meditation, waiting for God to say something, praying to him perhaps, but ready to write down whatever comes into their heads, believing that it is from the Holy Spirit. And to be honest, those sort of groups always end in disaster. Instead, the only way that we can be sure that we are hearing from God is when we listen to his word, the Bible. And when we stop reading it, we stop listening to him. We lose what he is emphasizing to us, the message about his kingdom, and we start emphasizing our own agendas, which usually involve the things of this world. And so last Sunday morning, we decided resolution number one, we must listen to God. And this week we discovered that Christians must speak to God as well in prayer. We must, because this is the essence of any relationship. When you listen to someone and when you speak to someone, you have a relationship with that person. And God longs for a relationship, a healthy relationship with us. So we must listen to him and speak to him. So this morning, prayer. Prayer is an embarrassing subject. I think it would be embarrassing if I asked you how much you prayed. The old Bishop of Liverpool, J.C. Ryle, said, if you want to embarrass a man, ask him about his prayers. And I'm certainly not trying to embarrass you this morning, definitely not. I'm going to assume that prayer is hard for you, as it is hard for me. So how can we genuinely improve our prayers? Teach us to pray, the disciples asked Jesus there in verse 1. Let's see how Jesus replies. Well, in Luke 11, Jesus teaches us how to pray and what to pray for. We're to pray for the kingdom. We are to speak to God, that's our definition of prayer, about his kingdom, about important spiritual realities. And that's the whole context here. Chapter 10 of Luke has been describing Jesus' disciples on their mission. Indeed, Jesus is on his mission. From chapter 9, verse 51, he has set his face towards Jerusalem. It's a turning point in Luke's gospel. He has set his face to go to Jerusalem to die for the sins of the world. He has then sent his missionaries out to proclaim this gospel, the gospel of the kingdom. Believe that he died for you, and you will enter his kingdom. Chapter 10, verse 1, they are to go into the towns and villages proclaiming the kingdom of God. It won't be easy, just like today, some will reject them, but then again, some will accept them. Mary and Martha were among those who accepted Jesus. We read about them last week. They received him as Lord and Savior. They received his word, what he was saying. They listened to Jesus, verse 39, and they entered his kingdom. And you will do the same if you listen to Jesus. Listen to his word about the kingdom. But it's hard going for the disciples on their mission. Even Jesus has to pray about the mission. That's chapter 11, verse 1, so we're into our passage for this morning. And the disciples want to learn how to pray powerfully so as to have a successful mission, so as to win people for the kingdom of God. Teach us how to pray to see the gospel hit home. And so Jesus teaches them the Lord's Prayer. So it turns out that the Lord's Prayer is a gospel prayer. He teaches them to pray about the kingdom. Your kingdom come. And is this not what we should be praying about then? It is. We need to be praying for God's kingdom to come into the lives of those we know and love. We do. There'd be no successful mission, the mission of the church, without prayer for the kingdom. And that is what the Lord's Prayer is about. As we saw last week with Mary and Martha, the priority in a Christian life is to listen to Jesus. The priority in the Christian life is his word about the kingdom. The church's priority, our church's priority, is that gospel word, which is what God is speaking into his world. He has a message of salvation for the world. And that message is more important than any other act of service that we can think of. Mary's listening had priority over Martha's serving. And Jesus graciously uses his disciples. He graciously uses us to convey this glorious message, the gospel message. But we cannot do it on our own. We must pray about it. And anyone who has attempted any sort of Christian witness knows this. To speak to your unbelieving friend about the Lord is a daunting task. It is daunting. And so daunting, most of us don't do it. But the faithful disciple must do it if you love your friend at all. So where do you get the resources to enable you to do it? Where do you get the power to convince and convert? Answer, from God in prayer. You try to do any mission or outreach or witness to your friend, you'll be thrown back to the Lord in prayer. And so this is what we are to pray about if we are Christians. Now, of course, we may talk to the Lord about anything in prayer, about our health, about our work, about our plans for the future. In a sense, those sort of prayers are easy. But primarily, Jesus says, speak to God about the kingdom. Speak to God about the kingdom. Verse 13, ask him to give the Holy Spirit to you and to others. That is a spiritual kingdom prayer. Stir yourself to do it. Verse 1 has Jesus praying. Does he need to pray as he proclaims the kingdom? Yes, well then so do we. If we really are working for the Lord, we listen to him. We listen to his word about the kingdom. We pray to him about the kingdom. What else does Jesus teach about prayer in our passage? This is Luke 11, 1 to 13. Well, secondly, he says, speak to God as your Father. So the content of our prayer, speak to God about the kingdom. Secondly, speak to God as your Father. We cannot overlook this. It's so crucial. It's the first thing that Jesus teaches in the Lord's Prayer. In fact, he both begins and ends his teaching here in this section by saying that God is Father. That's verse 2. Our Father. Father, as NIV has it here. And then verse 13. How much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit? So if you belong to him, God is to be addressed as Father. And prayer is the ultimate mark of this special relationship. It's such a privilege. Imagine being in Washington, D.C., in America, and you park your car outside a large white residence, number 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue. And there are armed guards at the gate, but you walk straight past them without stopping. You stroll up to the front door, nodding and smiling at all the security staff. In the foyer, there's someone there to greet you personally and whisk you inside, straight through more security barriers. The Secret Service agents in black suits open doors for you until you finally arrive in an oval-shaped office. And the man behind the large desk says, "Morning, son." And you say, "Dad, I wonder if you could do me a favor." Can you imagine having access to the most powerful man in the world? Can you imagine having a president as your father? So as you could drop in and chat to him anytime you wanted, even though he has the whole world to run. In fact, he's not just available to see you. He's happy to see you. He will listen to anything that you have to say to him. And if possible, he's willing to help you out in any way he can. Well, I hope you see what I'm getting at. God is the King of Kings, the President of Presidents. He's the supreme creator and ruler of the world. He made the US president from dust. The White House is like a piece on his monopoly board. And yet our supreme privilege is to call God, to call our Maker, who is from eternity to eternity, to call him Father. We are to speak about the kingdom to our Father. And if you are a Christian, you are in that most special of relationships. Only if you're a Christian mind, not everyone is a child of God. Of course, God has made everyone. We are all made in his image. But then comes the problem. His image in us has been spoiled by sin. And we need rescued from that sin. But we can cry out to him for adoption into his family, and then we can call him Father. John chapter 1, verse 12. The world did not receive him, but to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Now, of course, even the most irreligious person prays from time to time. Isn't that right? The most irreligious person. They might say, "Oh my God." Isn't that right? But they would never say, "Oh my Father," because they do not belong to him. They do not know him. They do not belong to his family. The same with other religions. Does any ethnic religion lead us to God? Does any other religion or faith-based community call God Father? Do they know God's name, Father? I'm informed that there are 99 names in Islam for God, for Allah. He is creator, watcher, avenger. None of them means Father. Same in Hinduism and in all religions, he's never Father. So these religions do not even know God's name. There's a famous book about a young convert from Islam to Christianity. The book is called, "I Dared to Call Him Father." It's a great title, which says it all. It's only when you're truly converted that you can call him your Father. And so you see what Jesus is saying here. The disciples ask, "Lord, teach us to pray." Okay, he says, when you pray, say, "Father." Get into a right relationship with God. They ask him how to pray, and he does not come up with tips. The top 10 tips to get you praying, is that what you expected from a sermon on prayer? But prayer is not a technique. Jesus is refreshingly simple. He's working at a deeper level. Prayer is speaking to God as your Father. And no one needs tips on speaking to your Father. Just talk to him. Call him Father. He loves to hear from his children. Yes, if you find praying on your own is difficult, pray with others. Come to the church prayer meeting. There's a good resolution for 2016. There we speak to God about everything that's going on, especially to him about the kingdom. And we call him Father. We pray to our Father, our good, loving, caring, powerful Father. One third and final thing to learn from what Jesus says on prayer this morning is speak to God persistently. We've had speak to God about the kingdom, speak to God as Father. Now we learn that prayer is speaking to God continually, persistently. And to explain his point, Jesus tells a little parable, a story. The scene is a Palestinian village hut. Which of you, asks Jesus, will go to the door at midnight to ask for bread? Well, the question is outrageous. Even if the bread is to feed someone else, which of you would ask such a thing of an important man in the village? And yet the persistence is rewarded because of the sheer effrontery. The man in the parable gets what he asks for. His impudence pays off. Because of the man's persistence, the friend inside the house gets up and gives him whatever he needs, verse 8. And the point of the parable is simply be persistent. Keep hammering on the door. You will get a response. In fact, you will have a much better response from God than the man in the parable. His friend got up because he was worn down by all the knocking. But God does not need to be worn down. As we've already seen, God is our Father. So just ask him. Verse 9. So I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. The one who seeks finds. And to the one who knocks, the door will be opened. Which of you fathers, if your son asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? Be audacious. Just ask. Just pray. Not that you've got a blank check. Verse 10 there is not a blank check. Just to ask for anything and you receive it. No, no, no. We can talk to God about anything. But in this case, remember the context is the kingdom. The context is the Lord's Prayer. The context is ask for the Holy Spirit. Verse 13. Seek God's kingdom. Knock on the door of your Heavenly Father's house, asking for bread for someone else, asking for the bread of life for someone else. Bring your friend before the Lord in prayer, asking for him or her to experience salvation, for him or for her to enter the kingdom. This is how God works. I mean, he longs to give us the good gifts, and there's no better gift than the gift of his kingdom. But he loves to work through us. He loves us to ask him for things. He accomplishes his purposes by us praying. What a privilege. So be bold. Be cheeky. That's the mark of children. And we are to be children speaking to our Father. Sometimes children ask for the wrong things. A good father will have to say no. He'll have to discern. But Jesus says, have the boldness of children to ask, even in the middle of the night. Children call in the middle of the night. We were up on Thursday night at the call of a child. That's what parents do. So keep on knocking. God is not hiding. And he never says, don't bother me. He never just turns over. He wants us to ask, not to say, I don't really want to trouble you, Lord. That's not how a child approaches his father. And Father God gives us better than we can ever imagine. He won't give us a serpent. Verse 11. That's supposed to be a shocking illustration. As if a parent at Christmas would put a serpent, say, in a stocking for a child. A parent wouldn't do that. And Jesus says, if you then, though you are evil, verse 13, know how to give good gifts. That is a telltale throwaway line about our human nature, though you are evil. I mean, what comes out of my heart? Greed, envy, evil thoughts. But I still know how to give good gifts. I know how to give good gifts at Christmas. Well, how much more will God? When we ask him, he's not evil, he's good. So keep asking. Be bold. Persist. Why would God hand you a snake or a scorpion? And yet this is surely why so many people refuse to become Christians. They wonder, who knows what God will ask me to do? Who knows what he will give me? Maybe a person feels as though it will be a loss if they enter his kingdom. They suspect God will hand them a snake. They worry. But what kind of father do we think he is? He gives good gifts to his children. He gives the Holy Spirit, verse 13. He gives himself. And so putting it all together, the disciples ask, Lord, teach us to pray. And this is Jesus' answer for them and for us. Prayer is speaking to God. Speak to him about the kingdom, about spiritual things, not just about the material things of this world, but about the bread of life. Ask him to give the bread of life to your friend as you go on your mission like the disciples were on theirs, speak to God about the kingdom. Speak to him as your father. Remember, he is a loving heavenly father who has adopted his children into his family. And like all good fathers, he has good gifts for his children. So keep asking him. Speak to him persistently. Speak to him continuously, audaciously. Speak to him boldly. Let us do that now. Let us pray.